Hey, Mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well Nourished Mama podcast. My name is Brooke, I'm your host, and today's episode has been highly requested by so many of you on Instagram, TikTok, my email list. I get questions about this all the time, especially when I am talking about nutrition related to pregnancy or breastfeeding. I always get comments and questions about cravings, what they mean, why we have them, how you can get rid of them, what to do with them in the moment, you name it. Mamas are always worried about cravings. So I thought today we would tackle the ginormous topic of cravings and try and get at it in little bite-sized pieces, no pun intended. And while the science is kind of gray, it's not really set in stone. We don't know a ton of like really hard facts about cravings. We have kind of put some puzzle pieces together and, I don't know, not created assumptions, but like kind of said, you know what, this makes the most sense. So we're going to go with this. So if you're somebody who wants some answers just for peace of mind, then this episode is going to be really good for you. If you're worried about cravings with pregnancy or breastfeeding or your period or just in general, we're going to talk about it today and hopefully give you some answers so that you feel a little bit more in control when you do experience them. Now, turns out cravings, shocker, are just your body trying to communicate with you. Crazy, right? But most women either don't realize this or they don't understand what cravings mean and what to do about them. In fact, cravings often get the blame for our poor nutrition, whether it's feeling out of control, gaining weight, or not choosing nourishing foods. Now, because I'm your friend, I'm going to give you the cold hard truth. Cravings are not the problem. They're the message. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, don't shoot the messenger. This is a perfect example of that. So instead of blaming your cravings and being angry at the cravings, recognize that your body is trying to communicate with you in the best way it knows how, in the most effective way possible. Take a breath, dig deep, and be curious. Why do you feel the way that you do? I promise it will not only ease your mind, but completely change the way you approach your health and nutrition. So in today's episode, I'm going to share with you the pseudoscience behind your cravings, what to do about them, and some personal hacks that I've been using for years to manage them. And no, it's not to drink water. It's not to chew gum. This isn't the 90s, okay? Really, really quickly, I want to give a shout out to It's Kayla Noy for her review on episode 18. After listening to your superfood episode, I went out and bought some chia seeds and blueberries to add to my oatmeal. I had that for breakfast today and felt amazing. And then I had a donut for a snack and instantly felt less amazing. Just wanted to share that the power of food is real and thank you for being a resource for me as I go into my new mama era. Thank you, Mama, for being willing to take my advice and trust me with your health during such a crazy time of life. I hope you continue to see real results from the things that I share. And if you are listening today, any of you, and find this episode helpful, please, please, please share it with a friend, leave a star rating and review. Your shares and reviews help the podcast grow so we can get amazing guests, incredible sponsors, and more mamas in our corner. So with all of that, let's jump into decoding your cravings, trying to figure out what they mean, and trying to tackle them head on. Hey mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of two and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this, you're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day, and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. you're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life. Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? How I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum. If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6 week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list. Before we dig into today's conversation, I want to give some disclaimers and some context to what you're about to hear. Researchers, scientists, and dietitians don't have a ton of cold, hard explanations about why we experience certain cravings, but they do have some plausible theories. Most of what you're going to hear today is theories with evidence-based suggestions or solutions. What's cool, though, is that no matter if you're just a regular woman, a pregnant lady, or a new mom, the why behind cravings is generally the same. You might have different food cravings at different times, but usually the reason is the same. So, like I mentioned earlier, cravings are a way that your body communicates with you. They are a signal that your body needs something specific, and your body trusts you to figure out what that is and treat accordingly. Isn't that cool? I want you to remember that. Your body trusts you. I talk about this in episode 6, but you know the phrase, trust your gut? Well, my friend Steve challenged us to flip the script and say, my gut trusts me. And I think that that applies to cravings too. Our bodies have our best interest in mind 100% of the time. They will literally do whatever they can to keep us safe and alive. And they trust that we are going to take care of ourselves. When something is wrong, our body creates symptoms to get our attention and ask for help. Sometimes we know how to help, and sometimes we have to do some investigative work. Bottom line, cravings are just symptoms that our body is lacking something, whether it be nutritionally, mentally, or in some cases, emotionally. Some common causes of cravings include blood sugar imbalances, exhaustion, PMS, pregnancy, or a lack of physical activity. When we learn how to decipher those communication signals, we are better able to make informed choices about how to treat the problem and help our body. Now, I know you're thinking, okay, you're telling me that when I crave Harvest Cheddar Sun Chips, that actually means something? Well, yes and no. Your body doesn't know the difference between sun chips and, let's say, I don't know, popcorn. So your body isn't saying, the only solution to my problem is sun chips. But something about the sun chips is lending a clue to what your body needs. And to make sense of it, your brain came up with sun chips. Does that make sense? Same thing goes for chocolate on your period, burgers when you're pregnant, or sugar when you're breastfeeding. It's not the actual food necessarily, but it's something about those foods that your body probably needs. And in order for your brain to make it make sense, it's finding something you can relate to and put a name to, like chocolate, burgers, and sugar. Recognizing this process as communication is crucial for not only alleviating your cravings in the moment, but managing or minimizing them in the future too. So what I want to talk about is what not to do with cravings, the different types of cravings, and other situations where food represents emotions or unmet needs. Then at the very end, I'll share my number one tip for all cravings. So be sure to listen all the way through so you can hear that number one tip. So with that, let's jump into what not to do with cravings. Number one, Do not ignore them. I hope you learned through experience that this approach definitely does not work. It's like when someone says, don't think about elephants, and then you think about elephants. Ignoring your cravings will only intensify them and make you feel more frustrated and out of control. And remember, your cravings are a method of communication between your body and your brain, so ignoring them is telling your body that you don't trust it. So instead of dismissing your cravings, acknowledge them, sit with them, and have a conversation with them. Show your body that you recognize that a message is being sent and you aren't afraid to receive it. And you want to explore it. You want to dive into it. Now, I know this sounds a little fluffy, but your brain is so much more powerful than you realize. In fact, the most important relationship you will ever have in your life is with yourself. I'm going to say that one more time in case you were driving or had kids screaming at you. The most important relationship you will ever have in your entire life is with yourself. So by practicing trust and communication with your body in really small, simple ways, like with cravings, you are building confidence in your brain, and that will influence everything else that you do. Number two of what not to do with cravings is to give in right away. This is the polar opposite of ignoring your cravings, and it's just as ineffective as ignoring them. In this case, it's ineffective because you are giving the power to your cravings and letting your cravings be in control. Remember, cravings are communication. They are a symptom, not a problem. When you choose to give in right away, you're not trying to understand the message or the symptom. You're just trying to get rid of the message as quickly as possible. Over time, if this habit continues, you'll probably feel more disconnected from yourself and more out of control because you're misunderstanding what your body is trying to tell you. Actually, scratch that. You're just ignoring what your body is trying to tell you, and that's not going to help. The third thing you should not do about cravings is binge. Now, you might be thinking, I don't binge. I don't have an eating disorder, but I will reassure you that we have all been there. We have all binged, okay? Let me paint a scenario to show you what binging looks like, specifically in regards to cravings, okay? It's 9 p.m. You just got the kids in bed and you finally have time to breathe, be yourself, and hear your thoughts. All of a sudden, you realize you're craving ice cream and you remember that you have a pint of your favorite ice cream in the freezer. You think to yourself, ice cream isn't healthy though, so I'm just gonna have carrots and ranch instead. So you make a big plate of carrots and ranch. 10 minutes later, your plate is empty, but your stomach is not satisfied. You're still hungry and you're still craving ice cream. So you think to yourself, ugh, I am so weak. I shouldn't want ice cream, but I do. Why can't I just crave healthy foods and be satisfied with healthy foods? Oh, I bet if I had a protein bar, that would fix it. So you have a protein bar. 10 minutes later, you're still hungry and you're still craving ice cream. Now you're desperate and hoping that third time's the charm and you'll stop wanting ice cream after having a small serving of leftover roasted potatoes in the fridge. So you eat the roasted potatoes. 10 minutes later, you're not hungry anymore, but you're still craving ice cream. And now you are so frustrated that you just give up. You resentfully grab the ice cream out of the freezer, plop down on the couch, and eat the ice cream out of the container with a spoon, zoning out and thinking about how exhausted and frustrated you are. You finally have your ice cream. But 10 minutes later, you look down and realize that the pint is almost gone and now you feel sick. Okay. Let's talk about this. First of all, this has literally happened to me more times than I would like to admit on this podcast. Like this exact scenario about carrots to protein bar to leftover potatoes to ice cream. Okay. This literally happened to me a couple years ago. I promise I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. I struggle too. Okay. What I want to point out though, is that the binging is the end of the example when you give up and you just go to town on the food that you have been convincing yourself you can't or shouldn't have, and you end up eating more than you want or should. And it's because of restriction and a lack of self-control rather than being mindful and intentional. Is craving ice cream bad? No. Does it make you weak? No. Is eating ice cream bad? Absolutely not. What's bad is the mindset in this scenario. If we're being totally honest, it would have been better if you had just said, wow, ice cream sounds so good right now. I'm exhausted after a long day, and I want my favorite ice cream to de-stress and re-regulate my emotions before calling it a night. But what happened instead is instead of enjoying your ice cream and only eating maybe 300 calories about it, you ended up resenting or hating yourself and overeating by about 800 calories. If we're making this a binary comparison using calories as a metric, and you know that I don't really like calories, but we're using it as a metric, I'm pretty sure that 800 in this scenario is less healthy than 300. So bottom line, binging is not how we handle our cravings, okay? Binging comes from a negative mentality with food that is restrictive, shameful, and judgmental, and it will always end poorly. So what should you do about your cravings instead of ignoring them, giving in right away, or binging? Let's talk about the framework that I use and the framework that I teach my clients when it comes to navigating cravings. I call this the cravings framework. I know, super creative, right? But the framework is listen, ask, and decide. First, you want to listen to your mind. What is the surface level information you're getting? Are you feeling like you need to eat a specific food? Are you irritable and hangry? Can you hear your stomach growling? Once you identify the message, you need to dive deeper and ask questions. Why is my body sending this message? Am I super thirsty? Am I stressed and needing some emotional comfort? Do I need a specific nutrient? Have I forgotten to eat recently? Am I unintentionally under-eating? Am I cutting out entire food groups? Once you can answer those questions, you can decide what to do. And this is key because here you're making intentional, informed decisions rather than mindless, reactive decisions. Is the best plan to eat exactly what you're wanting? Or is it to find a nourishing option that checks the same boxes as your original craving? Or is it a combination of the two? I'll tell you right now that I've done all three options, and the more you give yourself permission to think, evaluate, and trust yourself, the easier it becomes to make a decision and really know what the best decision is. For example, when I was pregnant, I craved Taco Bell nacho cheese for like a few weeks, probably like 2 months. Nothing I did could fix it. So I just had Taco Bell nacho cheese when I could, and it was wonderful. I loved it. And for me, that was the right choice. I couldn't explain why I needed that food, and I couldn't think of anything similar that was more nourishing, so I just rolled with it. But there was another time during pregnancy that I craved potato chips. I stepped aside and I asked myself, do I want the salt or the munchie or the grease or the potato? I went through a couple iterations and realized I was very dehydrated, and my body probably thought that if I had a salty food, it would force me to drink more water to fix the dehydration. I also needed the electrolytes from the salt and the potatoes, and I hadn't had enough to eat that day. So my body was asking for quick calories. So instead of potato chips, I made homemade popcorn with Redmond real salt, a bit of grass-fed butter for some fat, and an electrolyte drink, and I had that instead of the potato chips prior to a meal. And you know what? It was exactly what I needed, and I felt so much better. It's not that the potato chips were bad, it's just that there was a better option to solve the underlying problem. Does that make sense? Basically, what I'm getting at is that analyzing your cravings helps you be proactive instead of reactive, and it puts the power back in your hands, not the cravings. And I didn't really mention this, but I did this same framework when I was thinking about the Taco Bell nacho cheese. I asked myself the same questions. Am I hungry because I haven't eaten? Do I need quick calories? Like I tried to go through that checklist and be like, what could it be about the nacho cheese that my body actually wants? And I actually could not think of anything. And so I was like, well, okay, might as well just eat the nacho cheese then and just enjoy it and not feel guilty about it. So I did go through that same framework with the Taco Bell nacho cheese. But the idea is that in that scenario, the nacho cheese was the answer. And in the other scenario, I found something better than potato chips that solved the same problem. Again, this takes lots of practice, especially if you've struggled with chronic dieting or diet culture trends and have lost your intuition. So today's episode is my effort to help you get some of that intuition back and not feel like a slave to your cravings anymore. And if you want to learn more about intuitive eating, definitely check out episode 10 with my friend Brooklyn. She's an intuitive eating coach, and our conversation is absolutely life-changing. I still love that interview so much. I will be sure to link that in the show notes. So now that we've talked about what not to do with cravings and the framework that I created, let's dive into specific cravings and what your body might be trying to tell you. Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes. I thought about all the different cravings I've had in my life, as well as examples from other women, and I kind of grouped them together into different categories so we could recognize themes and make sense of it all. I also did some research online. I talked to other registered dietitians and nutritionists and kind of put this master list together, okay? So the first type of craving we're going to talk about is salty. Believe it or not, if you're craving something salty, whether it's popcorn, pretzels, pickles, or potato chips, this could be an indication that you have an electrolyte imbalance. Remember, our electrolytes are sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium. Your body might be trying to tell you that it's short on energy at a cellular level and/or that it's dehydrated. And remember, being hydrated doesn't just mean drinking lots of water. It also includes getting enough electrolytes. So if you find yourself craving something salty regularly, try incorporating an electrolyte drink at least once a day. If you're already doing that, either increase your mineral-rich foods or add a second electrolyte drink to your day. My favorite brands are Just Ingredients and Redmond Relight, and I have discount codes for both of them in the show notes. Now, that's a more preventative measure for the long-term approach. In the moment, if you're having salty cravings, try pairing your salty food cravings with some protein or fat to give you that energy you need and keep your blood sugar steady. So for example, if you want popcorn, have some beef jerky to go with it. If you want potato chips, make a turkey avocado sandwich with Dave's Killer Bread. If you want pretzels, dip them in peanut butter or a Greek yogurt dip. See my point? The key is pairing your salty craving with the protein or fat, because usually salty cravings tend to be more carb heavy and we don't want to spike your blood sugar and kind of create this feedback loop of only eating carbs to satisfy the craving. So if you pair it with something that's more satiating, like protein or fat, then that can kind of curb the craving in the moment. And then you can kind of reset yourself and move forward in a positive direction for the rest of your day. The second category that I want to talk about is sugar. And I know this is a touchy subject because there are so many moms that complain about their sweet tooth. And if I had a dollar for every time a mama complained about her sweet tooth, I could literally retire today. Believe it or not, There are a few different reasons why you're craving sugar, so stay with me. First, I want to remind you that sugar is the quickest form of energy for your body. It's also the technical term for carbs, so even savory foods like popcorn, bread, and pasta are treated as sugar in your body. For our conversation today, though, we're talking about the sweet sugars like candy, ice cream, cookies, and so on, or heck, even fruit, anything that's sweet that you would usually crave. Most of the time, you're craving sugar because your body needs energy quickly. Maybe you haven't had enough to eat all day, or maybe you've just gone too long without food. Your body knows that sugar is the fastest way to give you energy, so it latches onto thoughts of sugar. See how it's not that you're bad or that you can't control yourself. It's just a safety mechanism that your body has. Isn't that cool? If this is the reason why you're craving sugar, I would suggest eating real food first. I know I talked about avoiding ice cream in the binging example by like eating other foods, but remember, we're trying to address the underlying problem here. And in this case, it's a lack of energy altogether. So we want to fix that lack of energy in a healthy way, and a sugary something is not going to do that. So that's why this is a little bit different than the binging example. So try having a small meal or a hearty snack and see if you feel better. When I craved sugar because I needed quick energy, but I fixed the problem with real nourishing foods, my sweet tooth went away. My craving went away. Another reason you might be craving sugar is because you haven't had enough protein. Protein is the most satiating macronutrient, and it helps regulate your blood sugar or your glucose levels. So if you haven't had enough protein, your blood sugar is probably unstable, and it's stuck in a negative feedback loop of using sugar to fix sugar crashes. But then the sugar causes sugar crashes. You see where I'm going? It's this negative feedback loop. The solution here would be to have a good source of protein. And I might even suggest a sweeter protein source like a chocolate protein shake with 2% milk. That way you're still getting some natural sugars and some sweetness, but it's natural sugars from dairy and the sweetness and flavor of the chocolate. And you're also getting vitamins, minerals, and let's say 30 grams of protein. The last reason you could be craving sugar is because you slept poorly the night before. And yes, this does include my moms with littles. You are not exempt. If you are getting interrupted frequently throughout the night, or you have trouble getting or staying asleep, this affects your insulin levels, which impacts your blood sugar, which impacts your energy levels. It goes on and on. When your insulin response and your blood sugar and your energy levels are unstable, all your body wants is the quickest solution, and that solution is sugar. Are you sensing a theme of like quickness and sugar? It's all related. So instead of beating yourself up about it, that you're craving sugar, just recognize that this is a biologically normal response to poor sleep and do your best to work with it. Stay on top of your protein, don't go more than 4 hours between meals, and keep up on your electrolytes. I promise it works. I have a toddler that gets nightmares frequently and a 3-month-old baby that wakes up to eat in the middle of the night. And I don't really struggle with sweet cravings, even though I'm not sleeping well, because I know how to nurture my body through this phase of life and kind of stay on top of it. Okay. So bottom line, think about why you might be experiencing sugar. Is it because you're not eating enough? Is it because you're not getting enough protein? Is it because you didn't sleep well? And try and diagnose it that way and then treat accordingly. The next type of craving category is chocolate. Women and chocolate, am I right? I think the most common time that we crave chocolate is right before or during our periods or when we're really stressed. I have two theories about why this is. The first one relates to our periods. Did you know that your caloric needs actually increase by about 150 to 200 calories per day during your period? This is because your body needs extra energy to shed the lining of your uterus, account for blood loss, and rebuild your insides quickly and efficiently, all while trying to manage your hormones and daily activities. That's a lot. In other words, your period is metabolically demanding and your body is trying to help you get more calories in to compensate for that. Most chocolate is high in calories due to the fat and sugar content, so that's why this makes sense. In addition, some chocolates are a good source of magnesium. Magnesium is an essential mineral that is required for more than 600 enzymatic reactions in the body, as well as cellular energy, because it's an electrolyte, and it's one of the first nutrients to be depleted during times of physical stress, i.e. your period. So yay, there actually is some logical reasoning and nutritional benefit to craving chocolate. But, the big but there, not all chocolate is created equal. I'm sure you knew that. If you think you're craving chocolate for the extra calories and magnesium, you should choose a high quality chocolate that is made with good ingredients and has at least 70% cacao. I recommend Hue chocolate. That's just H-U. It has like a cute little hand that's making the U shape because there's no refined sugar, no gums, no artificial ingredients, and it actually tastes amazing. It is the cleanest chocolate. And when I say cleanest, I mean like best ingredients. It's the cleanest chocolate that is on the market right now. And literally, it is the best chocolate. Like, I'm not kidding. I think it tastes way better than any other crappy, sugary American chocolate that you can find on the shelves. It's my favorite thing to have on hand when those chocolate cravings hit. And it actually does make me feel better, believe it or not. Not just emotionally, but like internally, nutritionally, you get it. It makes me feel better. So if you want to get ahead of your chocolate cravings, make sure that you're eating enough during the day. And if you're on your period, you need to be eating a little bit extra. And consider taking a magnesium supplement. You can find my recommendation in my Amazon storefront. If you'd rather enjoy the extra bit of chocolate, though, just because who needs an excuse to have chocolate, that's totally fine too, okay? Now, if you find yourself craving chocolate when you're mentally or emotionally stressed, this could be your body's way of seeking emotional regulation through comfort food, and that's totally normal. I remember craving chocolate after studying for some really big finals in college for like actually 10 hours in one day. By the time 9 o'clock rolled around, I was so freaking exhausted and still incredibly stressed, even though I had spent all day studying. I ended up eating more chocolate than I will admit on the podcast, but the craving was very real, and I laugh about it now looking back and be like, oh, my poor self. The only solution at the time was chocolate. So it's totally normal to crave it when you're stressed, totally normal to crave it when you're on your period. There's probably a good reason for it, but the important thing is that you identify, hopefully, what that reason is. The next type of craving is carbs. I've kind of touched on this a few times now, but if you're craving carbs, it's probably because your body needs some quick energy. Again, we're back to this quick fix, right? It could be because you haven't eaten enough, you're not getting enough protein, or you didn't sleep well the night before, kind of like I talked about with sugar. And yeah, we've already talked about it with salt and sugar and sweet carbs. But some other carbs that could be cravings could be things like breads, rice, pasta, or even dairy products like milk or yogurt. No matter what type of carbs it is, it's probably for the quick energy. In the moment, try choosing a more nutrient-dense carb like chickpea pasta, higher protein breads like Dave's Killer Bread, unsweetened Greek yogurt with fruit and nuts, or even cooking your rice and pasta in bone broth instead of water. The goal is not to have naked carbs that are like by themselves, but pairing them with something satisfying like protein, fiber, and fat. If you find yourself regularly craving carbs, though, I suggest reevaluating your eating habits, like how frequently you eat, how you build your plate, and whether or not you're eating a hearty breakfast in the morning. Because it's one thing to crave carbs like here and there if it's been like a really long day or something. But if you find yourself like always craving carbs every single day or always at the same time of day, then that's more of like a lifestyle thing. And I would address the lifestyle aspect. Okay. Let's see. Next on my list, scroll. Types of cravings. Fatty foods. Okay, that's our next category. Sorry, my brain is all over the place. Fatty foods. I am going to give my husband credit for helping me understand this one, because for me personally, craving fatty foods like burgers, fries, and pizza has always bothered me. It always drives me nuts. But I've learned over the years that if I eat less of the processed foods, I don't desire them as much. And over time, I don't really enjoy them anymore. So it's like not a big deal. However, every once in a while, I crave a fat, juicy burger with a pile of fries covered in salt and the milkshake, like the whole nine yards, right? My husband helped me recognize that 99% of the time, these intense cravings for fatty foods coincide with the days that I am so depleted physically, mentally, emotionally, and my tank is empty and my body is screaming for energy. But in this case, it's not a quick energy like munchy carbs. It is calorie-dense foods with lots of fat and lots of salt. When I started to notice this pattern, I was less upset with myself and a little bit more understanding. I thought to myself, wow, okay, I've had an incredibly hard day. I need lots of help to recover. And I just leaned into that. I thanked my body for having the courage to communicate with me, even though it was running on empty and I probably hadn't been super nice to it that day. I also recognized that for me personally, burgers and fries are also a comfort food. So there's also an emotional aspect to it. So now when I'm craving fatty food, I sit back and I think about the day that I've had and where I'm at emotionally. And most of the time it makes sense. I remember one specific time we went out to dinner after a horrible day. And all I wanted was the greasiest burger and fries that I could find. I kid you not, when I took those first few bites, I literally felt my body relax. Like, it's like my shoulders were up to my ears, and then I took a bite of my burger, and it's like my shoulders had sunk into the floor. I was so relaxed. It was such a crazy thing to experience, but it taught me a lot about the power food has and how sometimes the healthiest choice might just be fast food. It might just be fatty foods. And that's because in situations like this, the food is doing so much more than giving us vitamins and minerals. I don't even know how to describe it. I guess it's just like this emotional validation of, oh my gosh, this is where I'm at. And this is the only thing that's going to make me feel better. And your mental health is just as important as your physical health. And so if you're in this situation where you find yourself craving fatty foods and it's because you are just like running on empty in all sense of the term, and that's the only thing that's going to fix it, then that's a good choice. You shouldn't feel guilty for going to have a burger and fries. It's a hard lesson and it's kind of counterintuitive, but I promise you, if you can learn to just accept it, you will feel so much better. Now, another time you might crave fatty foods is when you're pregnant, especially in the first trimester. If this is you, you might want fast food because it's the only thing you can keep down, like if you've been puking all day, or your body is begging for extra calories because it's doing a lot. It's creating a human being from scratch. This is not a bad thing. Just remember to apply the framework that I talked about and mindfully choose how to navigate each circumstance. Sometimes fast food is the best option, and sometimes there's another choice that's the best option. Only you can decide, but it's important that you're mindful about it. You're not just like, okay, well, I might as well have fast food again because I had it for the last six meals or whatever. Trying really hard to like be mindful and treat your body as good as you can, right? And understanding what's best for you. The next type of craving is healthy foods. And I don't like to use the word healthy because it's so relative, but I know you know what I mean when I say healthy foods. Believe it or not, it is possible to crave healthy foods, and there are people out there that experience this particular craving. I think the most common scenario is when you've had lots of fast food or processed food on a vacation or lots of treats around the holidays, and your body is just begging for nourishing, nutrient-dense foods. I've experienced this exact scenario many times, and for me, it's usually things like salad, vegetables, fresh fruits, smoothies, all those good things. I've also craved fresh foods if I've eaten a lot of meat or bread multiple meals in a row. So think like really dense meals. Your body's just like, can I have some vegetables that are like 95% water to like balance out all that meat and bread you just ate? That's another time that I find myself craving healthier foods. And I think this type of craving is the most intuitive in the sense that it's pretty obvious why you would be craving healthy foods. So I don't think there's much else to say about it. The next type of craving, are you surprised how many categories I came up with? This is pretty impressive. The next one is red meat and non-food items. Bear with me. Usually, if you're craving red meat, it's a sign your body probably needs iron or vitamin B12. Both nutrients are important for red blood cell formation, which is how your body gets oxygen and maintaining your energy levels. If you're feeling sluggish and tired, even with adequate sleep and hydration, you could be low in iron or vitamin B12. Sources of red meat include beef, lamb, pork, and venison, and there are so many unique ways to enjoy these animal meats without eating a slab of steak every day. Think things like beef chili. Oh, that's my baby. Okay, let's see if we can do this. Beef chili, pulled pork tacos. There's a recipe for that on the blog that I'll link in the show notes. Steak stir fry, lamb stew, or even choosing ground venison in place of ground turkey if that's available to you. You can also opt to cook in cast iron skillets and have a source of vitamin C along with your iron source to increase absorption. Now, here's another craving that is both weird and extremely rare, that indicates a need for iron, non-food items. And this is why they're grouped with red meat. I'm talking things like ice, dirt, chalk, clay, and soap. Yes, believe it or not, this is a real thing. It's very rare, and it's called pica. If you find yourself in this situation where you literally are wanting to eat dirt or drink laundry soap, please call your doctor and go eat a steak for the time being. The last category is a little tricky because it can be a reason for every craving we've talked about today, but it's not as explainable as the others. And I'm talking about emotional cravings. And I've kind of hinted at this in a couple of these. These cravings could be for almost anything, and instead of communicating a nutritional need, your body is trying to tell you that it needs some TLC. Maybe you're really overwhelmed with work. Maybe you had a fight with your spouse. Maybe you just had a really long, busy day. Or maybe you're just pregnant. Whatever it is, your body is asking for emotional regulation through a comfort food. For me, I've seen this manifest with ice cream, sour gummy worms, a really good curry with lots of vegetables and naan bread, burgers, and like I mentioned earlier, Taco Bell nacho cheese. And when I sat down with myself to have a conversation, the only thing I could think of was that I was stressed and needed relief. And it's been at all different times of my life too. High school, college, my missionary service, pregnancy, breastfeeding, and just being a woman. What I really want you to internalize is that experiencing cravings purely because you're stressed or emotional is not bad. In fact, I would argue that these cravings are even more important to listen to because it goes way deeper than I need XYZ vitamin or, hey, you forgot to eat your carrots today. It's more about, hey, we're really struggling here and I know this will help you calm down, regulate, and be a little happier. That is important. That is a message worth listening to. Food is so much more than just nutrition, although you and I talk about that all the time. Food is about culture, community, and connection, and trying to deny that or feeling guilty about it isn't fair to you at all. So next time you recognize that you have a craving just because you're stressed, realize that just like always, your body has your best interest at heart, and it's trying to help you in the best way possible. So embrace that craving, show yourself some love, and don't dwell on whether or not it's a healthy food. Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease, and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's M-A-M-A-2-0, at the link in the show notes. Okay, now I want to talk about other situations that involve food, but it might not be like cravings necessarily, because I know I am going to get questions about this. And these are things that I have experienced, and these are things that I help my clients work through all the time. The first situation is wanting food even though you just ate. If you find yourself wanting more food even though you just had a meal or a snack, this means you did not eat enough food. Our body literally has hunger and fullness hormones to help you know how much energy you need. And if you're feeling hungry, there's a reason for it. One of the ways you can avoid getting stuck in this position in the first place is really taking time to eat your food. Chew slowly and completely. Pay attention to how it tastes. Take a drink of water for every two bites. When you are more mindful of your meal, you're more likely to hear those hormones and know if you need more food before you get up from the table. And remember, if you're hungry, you need to eat food. It is not okay to suppress that hunger. The second situation is wanting food, but you're not hungry. So what if you aren't hungry, but you find yourself wanting food? I'm guessing you're either bored or you're stressed. Sometimes I find myself wanting to munch on something because I need to pass time or because I need an outlet for all of my mental stress. If this is you, treat the problem, not the symptom. If you're bored, change the activity you're doing or the place that you're in. If you're stressed, practice some deep breathing and check off some really small and easy items on your to-do list to get a quick boost of dopamine. Or hug your dog, kiss your baby, whatever helps you relieve stress in a healthy way. The next situation is wanting food right before bed and or waking up in the middle of the night. Contrary to popular belief, it is not a sin to eat food right before you go to bed. Your metabolism doesn't know the difference between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. It just knows if there's food in your system that needs to be digested and utilized. If you find yourself hungry right before going to bed, this probably means you did not eat enough food during the day and your body is trying to fix the problem before you fast for 8+ hours. Trust me, I've learned the hard way that going to bed hungry is not a good idea. One, this teaches your body that it won't always get enough food, and so it panics and it goes into starvation prevention mode. This means if it feels like it can't depend on you to consistently get enough energy and it can't predict when the next meal is coming, it will hang on to every calorie you give it, and it will slow down your metabolism to make whatever calories you do eat last as long as possible. Last time I checked, we don't really want that. Two, this sets up your body to have a massive blood sugar crash in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. And remember, we're talking about wanting food before you go to bed and going to bed hungry. This usually happens around 2 to 4 a.m. and it explains why you wake up tired but wired, like you're ready to go, and you struggle to go back to sleep. You can do two things here. One, eat something high in protein and fiber right before bed. And two, have a small glass of milk and a handful of nuts if or when you wake up. I'm not kidding, mama. This works, especially if you're pregnant. One of my clients has struggled with her sleep for nearly a decade. She was exhausted by the end of the day, but always woke up around 3 a.m. and could not fall back asleep. She took my advice about eating before bed and having a snack if she woke up. After a few weeks of doing this one thing, she said, quote, "Having had middle of the night sleep issues for so many years, I was shocked when I was able to fall back asleep after eating a small snack before bed and a handful of nuts and half a glass of milk when I woke up in the middle of the night. This small and simple change in my habits has made it possible for me to get more sleep during the night instead of hours of restless awake time." Such a small thing made such a big difference for her. Now, I want to reiterate that this is a temporary fix and shouldn't be your new normal, but it's a great trick to have up your sleeve for those hard nights. But I'm also going to put an asterisk next to that and say that the exception to this rule is if you're pregnant. Because a pregnancy is a unique situation, I actually recommend consistently eating something small right before bed as a preventative measure. Your blood sugar is so much more unstable, even if you're doing all the right things during pregnancy. So I highly recommend having something like a Chomps stick, a hard-boiled egg, full-fat Greek yogurt, or some milk and nuts right before bed. It will make the inevitable pregnancy insomnia so much more manageable. So just to recap this section, if you are hungry before you go to bed, eat food, because your body is terrified that if you don't eat now and then you fast for like 8 or 9 hours while you're sleeping, that it's just never going to get food. And that freaks your body out. So don't do that. And then number two, you can have something in the middle of the night that will help you if you wake up because your blood sugar crashed. Okay. So that one really hits home for me because I struggled with that for a while. I've helped a lot of clients with that. If you want to listen to that section, please go back and do so because it's really, really good advice. Not to pat myself on the back, but it's really good advice and I don't hear enough nutritionists and dietitians talking about it. The last situation that I want to talk about is if you're always thirsty. This one is tricky, but I have two different theories. One has to do with dehydration and the other has to do with overhydration. Now, the obvious theory is that you're thirsty because you're not drinking enough water. If this is the case, drink more water. But if you're like me and you don't like water, here are some tips. Number one, use fruits, vegetables, and herbs to add some flavor and nutrients to your water. This could be adding things like strawberries and raspberries or what are other good combinations? Lemon and lime, or you could do cucumber and mint, you know, those cute little fancy drinks that you have at like parties and wedding receptions and whatever. Basically just recreate that in your water bottle or whatever. That will help differentiate the water so you don't feel like you're just drinking water all day long, and it'll boost the nutrition. Number two, incorporate more water-dense foods like watermelon, zucchini, strawberries, pineapple, bell peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, peaches. The list is actually pretty big. If you have more water-dense foods throughout the day, then believe it or not, you actually won't feel as thirsty because you are consuming foods that have a high water content. And the specific foods that I mentioned have at least 85% water content in them. So those are really, really good options. Bonus points if you put them in your water. Number three, have a daily electrolyte drink. I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. I think everybody should be having an electrolyte drink every single day. And no, I'm not talking about Gatorade. I'm not talking about Body Armor. And I'm not talking about Liquid IV. Those are all trash. If you think those are electrolytes, please go read my blog post. Those are not electrolytes. When I'm talking about an electrolyte drink, I'm talking about a very high quality supplement that has sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium in it. And it literally nourishes your body at a cellular level so that you have energy from the ground up. The other reason, and the most important reason that I mention this, is because electrolytes usually have flavor to them. So if you're tired of drinking water, then add a high quality electrolyte like Just Ingredients or Redmond Relight or Needed, and adding that to your water will change the flavor of your water, and it will also be giving you all of those electrolytes that you need. Number four, consider buying coconut water or vitamin water that has some flavor and is fortified with vitamins and minerals. And again, when I say coconut water, I am not talking about body armor, okay? That stuff is a joke. We're done with body armor. I'm talking about like the actual pure coconut water that just says coconut water on the front. I don't actually know what the brand is. I think it is like blue and green on the bottle and it has a palm tree on it. Shocker. But like buying unsweetened coconut water, that is a fantastic source of potassium. That is going to be so, so, so good for you. And it's also going to taste a little bit different than regular water. As for vitamin water, this is actually a brand that I can get behind. You just have to make sure to buy the zero sugar vitamin water because we don't want to drink calories here and we don't want food dyes and artificial sugar. But if you get vitamin water, it's actually a brand. You can buy it at the checkout line at the grocery store. You can buy it in the water aisle at the grocery store. The reason I love vitamin water so much is because they have really yummy flavors and they fortify their water with water-soluble vitamins. In other words, they fortify it with vitamins that require water in order to be absorbed and utilized by the body. So it's a two for one. You're getting your hydration, but you're also getting vitamins that require water to be used. So that's a super great option. And then the last tip for getting more water in, if you're always thirsty, is, believe it or not, having a glass of milk. Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't like straight milk. I grew up in a house where we had to have a glass of milk with our dinner every night. And I'm also a millennial, which means I went through and lived the entire Got Milk campaign. Hopefully I'm not the only one on here that remembers Got Milk. But milk is actually mostly water, believe it or not. And it is one of nature's best electrolyte drinks. If we're talking about natural electrolytes, there's like bone broth and coconut water and milk. And that's, you know, you don't have to buy anything fancy from the store. So milk, you're getting tons of vitamins, tons of minerals, you're getting protein. If you drink 2% or full fat, you're getting some healthy fats in there. And then you're also boosting your hydration. I was complaining to my OB one day about how much I hated water and how hard it was for me to stay hydrated during pregnancy. And she told me that I could count up to 8 ounces of milk every single day towards my hydration goal. So any more than one cup of milk probably shouldn't count because then it's not really for the water content. But if you have like 8 ounces of milk a day, that's 8 ounces of hydration that you weren't having otherwise. I personally like to have it with my breakfast first thing in the morning. But you can have it at any time of day. If you don't like milk, non-dairy milk can work because it's a higher water content than regular milk, but I advise against oat milk. It's not because oats are bad. It's because oats are carbs. And so you're basically drinking your calories and spiking your blood sugar. So if you want the solution to the hydration of using milk, I would prefer that you did it with regular dairy milk. And if you choose non-dairy milk, then I would prefer you choose coconut milk or like full fat unsweetened almond milk. Okay, so that was my first theory about dehydration, about why you're always thirsty. Let's talk about the less obvious theory. And that's that you're always thirsty because you're drinking too much water. I've met some people that say, I drink a gallon of water every day and I'm still thirsty. What's wrong? If this is you, I'm pretty confident that you're still thirsty after all that water because you're not increasing your electrolytes to match the amount of water that you're drinking. What do I mean by this? The fluid and electrolyte balance in our body is such a precise balance. And if there's too much water, you're essentially diluting all of the electrolytes, and then there's not enough electrolytes to manage all of the water that you drink. So now you have too much water and your body doesn't know how to use it properly. So you still feel thirsty because you can't use the water that you already have. Does that make sense? It's similar to having so much folic acid in your body, but you can't metabolize it. So even though there's a bunch of folic acid floating around, your body can't actually have any folate, and therefore you are severely deficient in folate. I probably just open a can of worms with that one. That's the last I'm going to talk about it. But that's another example. So how do you drink enough water to avoid both dehydration and overhydration? A good place to start is by drinking half your body weight in ounces of water. So if you're like me and you weigh 125 pounds, I recommend drinking at least 65 ounces of water every day. If you're pregnant or breastfeeding, do the same calculation and then add 16 to 24 ounces on top of that. If you're breastfeeding, I would lean towards even like 30 ounces just because breastfeeding and producing breast milk requires so much water. But yeah, a general rule of thumb, half your body weight in ounces. And then if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, tack on 24 ounces on top of that. A third possibility of why you're always thirsty is that you're pregnant or breastfeeding. And if that's you, do your best to drink more water. That's all I can say. Okay. Wow. We made it to the end of the episode. I can't believe it. Do you want to guess how many pages my script is? It's 15. I'm doing pretty good at talking through it. I have to take drinks here and there, but I'm doing pretty good. So let's talk about the long-awaited number one advice that I told you at the very beginning of the episode. This is my number one advice for managing and getting ahead of cravings altogether. We've had a long in-depth discussion about every little detail about cravings. We've talked about what not to do, what to do, a proven framework for handling cravings in the moment, all different types of cravings and why you might be experiencing them, and how emotions influence our eating habits. The last thing I want to leave you with before we wrap up today is my number one tip for minimizing cravings altogether. This is something that will improve so many different aspects of your life, and if you can really make it a consistent habit, you will feel incredible. The best thing you can do to manage your cravings is prioritize protein at every meal, especially breakfast. Are we shocked that Brooke is talking about protein? No. I encourage my clients to aim for at least 30 grams of protein for every meal and 15 grams of protein for every snack. This not only helps with your cravings, but your blood sugar balance, brain fog, hormone regulation, and immune system. Protein is the most satiating macronutrient. So when you get enough protein with your meal, you will feel fuller, longer, and have more sustained energy. This greatly reduces your chances of cravings because your body won't be begging for quick energy in between meals. On top of that, if you're eating enough protein with your meal, you'll probably have other nourishing foods on your plate too, like vegetables, healthy fats, or greens, which means you're less likely to feel low in certain nutrients. Now, am I saying that you have to eat chicken or steak for every meal? Absolutely not. I don't even do that. If you're not sure how to increase your protein intake without eating meat for every meal or buying the entire grocery store, I have a massive blog post that teaches you everything you need to know about protein, and there's a free 2-week meal plan to go with it. Over 9,000 people have used this meal plan, and I continue to get messages and reviews from people saying, oh my gosh, I had no idea it was this easy. This meal plan was so helpful. I learned so much. And I'm actually like quickly pulling up a review that just came in the other day. This is totally off script. There was a review that came in the other day for my meal plan, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the nicest review. But it like really shows you how much value is packed in here. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, here we go. Okay. This review is from Christine. She says, a lot of information, meal, and snack ideas that take the guesswork out of figuring out what to eat and ensuring you get enough protein in your diet. Highly impressed, and the recipes are super easy and yummy. i.e. no weird ingredients that you can only buy at a random store. And then she finishes her review by saying she should be charging for this meal plan, but it's free. Take advantage of this awesome resource. I'm serious, mama. If you feel so overwhelmed with protein, getting nourishing meals in your day with littles, Just taking care of yourself. This meal plan will seriously change your life. I spent 2 months putting this meal plan together. Like I said, over 9,000 people have used this meal plan. And I continue to have more people download this meal plan every single day. And it is absolutely incredible, and it is 100% for free. So if you want to manage your cravings, feel in control of your life, nourish your body the way it deserves to be nourished, show your body that you are taking care of yourself, and build that trust with yourself, this meal plan is the way to do it, okay? Head to the show notes. I'll link the blog post because there's a ton of extra information in the blog post that teaches you about calculating your protein, plant-based sources of protein, protein supplements, literally everything you need to know about protein. It's in this blog post. So I'll link the blog post so that you can get all that information. And then in the blog post at the beginning and the end is a link to download the meal plan that goes along with it. So you're basically getting a 2-for-1. Click that link in the show notes, get the meal plan. It's amazing. I've used it personally. I'm going to stop talking now. It's really, really great. If you have any questions about today's episode about cravings, or if somehow I forgot something that you're like, wait, well, what about this? Please, please, please DM me or email me. I would love to answer your questions in the best way that I can. And if you learned something today about yourself or just something that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to try that next time and it works, please, please, please tell me. Leave a rating and review saying how the advice helped you or what you learned from the episode or just something that was really helpful for you. That helps me know that not only do you enjoy the content that I'm creating, but it also helps me get a better idea of how to create content in the future. And that it also tells other moms what was beneficial about the episode so that they can know exactly what they need to get out of the episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the very, very end. Be sure to check out today's show notes for that protein meal plan. And tons of other resources that I linked in there that are related to today's episode, including any of the discount codes for brands that you might need. And as always, thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy that I get to be a little birdie in your ear, wherever that is, whether it's on your walk, in the car, or just like winding down for bed. I really love being a part of your motherhood journey, and I hope we can continue to go through motherhood together. Thanks so much, Mama, and I'll see you in the next episode.
And that's the end of another episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, Mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.